Now, I talked about the leaven of Herod and where it started, but now I want to shift gears and talk about the leaven of the Pharisees. Where did it start? The seeds of the leaven of the Pharisees, it started in Judges chapter 8. See, that was a great battle in chapter 6. God chose Gideon. The Midianites had sided with the, The Midianites was troubling Israel at that time. And God raised up Gideon, who they called Zerubbabel. And they gave him that nickname because before God used him in battle, he had to tear down his father's idols. That made a statement of whose side he was on, because the victory that God gave him was not going to be shared with Baal. All right. So the preachers who allow Baal worship in their doctrine, they're not going to be raptured either. And Gideon was not half-hearted. Gideon did things to mount up. When the Lord gave him something to do, he asked for signs. He asked for what, you know, he put out a fleece. Now, in those days, the men didn't have the Holy Spirit to guide them. But he asked God to help him believe. That's what he was doing. He was doing something about his unbelief, because none of these things had happened to him. And when it's time to trust God, you need help. And the Lord gave him what he needed so he could trust him. Now, since I mentioned trust, trust is very important. A man can hear the word and operate in faith and do well. But trusting God is the other side of the coin. When you trust God with the ability to use faith, you go in areas that you wouldn't normally go. Gideon was in chapter 7, he was entering into an unknown. You know, he was entering into an unknown. And the Lord was doing things. The Lord, verse 4 says, the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Well, let me back up a bit. All right. Verse 1, then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of Midian were on the north side of them in the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Wow. Watch verse 4. You would think that God is ready to battle now. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say to thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, every one that lappeth the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. Now they lapped like a dog, but they put their hand to their mouth and they drank water like a dog would. Okay. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped like a dog, they put their, but they scooped the water with their hands. See, their head was still where they could see. They were wiser than the rest. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into the hand, and let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took their victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass in the same night that the Lord said to him, Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, unto the host, the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for the multitude. Then was Gideon come. Behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. Now watch this, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled unto the host of Midian, and came into the tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay alone. Now watch this. This is the wisdom of God. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand has God delivered Midian and all the host. You know, what do we have here? This looks like to me a Midianite, a Gentile man that happens to have a prophet's anointing on him. See, God, don't underestimate the Lord. The Lord knows he had an interpreter of the dream. One man gave the dream, and the other interpreted it. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned to the host of Israel and said, Arise. Now he's got now Christ is formed in him. Like I said earlier, he can't sin. Christ is formed in him at this point. Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said to them, Look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be as I do, so shall ye do. And you know the story. I'm not going to read all of it. You know, they messed up the whole outfit. They broke the pitchers, they blew the horns, and they said the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and all the company of the Midianites just dispersed. And they had a great victory. And they chased all the kings of Midian away. Now watch verse 8. Now this is where the first this is where the seed of the Pharisees come from, right here, in Judges chapter 8. The leaven of the Pharisees, this is where it comes from. Now why do you say that, preacher? This is why, because God revealed it to me. Watch this. The men of Ephraim said to him, Why hast thou served us this way, that thou called us not when thou went to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. Remember something. The Lord selected Gideon's army, and they came. The Ephraimites were excluded. They feel offended because, now they didn't volunteer to go. But they wanted the recognition for being there. Now listen to it again. The men of Ephraim said to him, Why hast thou served us this way, that thou called us not when thou went to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said to them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? And God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated. Now watch this. Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. Some people are after power and prestige. They want it bad. And they want it more than the love of God. This is the leaven of the Pharisees, my friend. This is it in a nutshell. Verses 1 through 8 shows it. They weren't interested in the victory. They were interested in recognition. Gideon won a great victory with 300 men. So 301 men God used to deliver Israel from their wicked enemy. They didn't care about that. They came to kill Gideon because they were offended. They rose up against him. They chided with him sharply. Why did I use the word kill? Because it happened again. Let's look over. This time they did fight with Jephthah. Judges chapter 12. See, Jephthah was a few generations down from Gideon. This is Judges 12 verse 1. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said to Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. That's why I say they wanted to kill Gideon. They chided with him sharply. Now that was, their parents did that. These are the children. See, the children get worse. If you leaven somebody and they have children and the children don't get saved in Christ, they get worse than the parents and more hard-hearted. This process just continued to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Israel got to a point that they wouldn't repent. By Isaiah's day, here comes the king of Assyria. Israel didn't even ask God for help. They went to Egypt and asked Pharaoh for help. You see how the generations grow wicked? God had to let them go into captivity. Even Judah had to go into captivity. Another generation down in Jeremiah's day. I don't know the number. It's almost 100 years. But in Jeremiah's day, is the same thing happened to Judah. See, Judah was doing good until Jehoshaphat's son married Ahab's daughter. That's when they went sideways. A little leaven leavens the lump. And the leaven, the Laodicean church is leavened. They are tares now. They won't repent. Now, these are the clues. Jesus said they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They don't know it though. They don't see their condition because they're blind. They're wretched, miserable. See, wretched, they can't be fruitful. They can't bear fruit. They're sterile to life. Miserable, they can't increase properly. They prosper illegally, but they have possessions. They prosper illegally, not of God. And see, the real church gets sucked into it too because, all right, you get saved, you're looking at a man on a pedestal preaching. If he happens to be wrong and you receive what he's saying, now you got a problem that God has to help you out of. Now, I'm going to tell you what has happened. When people really love God and they go to an assembly where there's compromise. The compromise will vex their spirit. They might get caught up in it for a season, but as they grow in the Lord, the false preaching will vex their spirit, and they don't know why. They just stop going to church, and they don't know why they stop. They don't know why they don't want to be there no more. Sometimes they think, "Well, man, am I backsliding?" But they have a love for God. That love for God didn't go away. Their hatred for compromise increased as their love for God increased. And they just can't take it no more, and they And they either find a church where they don't compromise, or they find a church that compromise less. And so many, there's so much compromise, sometimes people are just at home. Then you got those that are compromised. And when people that were, let's say they had a compromising pastor that died, or the church split or whatever, and they end up going to a church that really loves God, because they want Jesus on their terms and not his, they're leavened. You can see this. You understand this. And so when they're around the real word, they get offended, because they won't rebuke the leaven that they've been leavened with. They want God on their terms, their way. They want Jesus to be a certain way, and they want to do life the way they want to with the leaven that they have. Sometimes the men want to lust a little bit. Sometimes the women want to be, they want power. Whatever it is, whatever they compromised at, that's what the enemy uses to control their life. So when you got a preacher that's preaching a word that sets you free from bondage of all sorts, they don't want to be there because they're convicted. They see he's exposing their darkness and they don't like it. Just like the men of Ephraim. Just like the men of Ephraim. One generation wanted to, they chided with Gideon. And Gideon solved the doubt, solved their conversation. He said, well, y'all caught Oreb and Zeb. Who can compare with that? Then they were all right. Okay, yeah. That, all they wanted was praise. The devil wants praise. The devil wants your praise. And that satisfied them. You did something. He just exposed that you did something too. Then they were all right. Now, their children. They wanted to burn up Jephthah with his inside the house. They wanted to burn him alive. So when Jesus came to his own received him not. You got to consider these things. Don't overlook what God is doing. This is, as you study the word of God, you go all the way down to Isaiah and then Jeremiah. You know, look at Jeremiah 8. The leaven of the Pharisees is getting, you know, they were little snakes, now they're big ones. Jeremiah 8, at that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah. Now these are the wicked kings, not the godly kings, not David. And the bones of the princes, their children that are actually worse. The bones of the priests of all people that compromise with these wicked kings. The bones of the prophets even, that prophesied lies to the kings. And the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The crowd that want life on their terms. Out of their graves. They're going to bring their bones, just like the man prophesied back in the days of Jeroboam, that prophet. Verse 2 says, and they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and the host of heaven, whom they loved and whom they have served, after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for poop on the face of the earth. The word they used, it, they said dumb. But they're going to be just like poop on the ground. You know, if you got a bunch of cattle, they poop eventually. And their dead bones are going to be for waste on the top of the ground. And they won't be buried. And death shall be chosen rather than life by the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. God had to drive them out. And they won't repent. Death will be chosen rather than life. So you can trace the leaven of the Pharisees all the way back to the house of Ephraim. They were the only tribe that did that. But see, guess what? Where there's leaven, there's influence. Where there's influence, it grows. God had to, first he had to drive out Israel. You see where this is going? Then he had to drive out Judah, the tribe of Judah. In the day, if you study how Jeremiah was there, and Ezekiel experienced it. See, we got record of what happened. But see, this spirit, it leavens people, and the generations get worse and more satanic and worse and more satanic until Jesus came. Now, guess what? Now I want to share something with you. If you think that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests, the high priests of those days, were bad, and the people that, see, Pilate, he tried to rescue Jesus. He really did. He appealed to the people. I'll give you one. We'll release one of the prisoners to you. Jesus saw Barabbas. He just knew in his heart that they were going to choose Jesus and his troubles would be over. Guess who they chose? Barabbas. You know, I would love to know what happened after that, the record of what Pilate did. But anyway, once somebody said Pilate got saved, I hope he did. I know his wife would have gotten saved, but anyway, he thought for sure the crowd would choose Jesus. This man did miracles, they love him. They wanted Jesus dead worse than the Pharisees. Now, Jesus on the cross said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." If you think that generation bad, take a closer look at ours. People are, no, they have a record of what Jesus did. This nation was born out of all the struggles we had. This nation overcame the king of England and all the influences of the world. People came here, became Christians. It became a strong nation. Divided with slavery, they overcame that. A lot of things this country has overcome. It has been proven the ways of Jesus work. And that people don't have excuse. So, if you think that generation was bad when Jesus was on the scene, this generation is exponentially worse. You got 10 nations trying to bring in an antichrist, a man that's going to be in place, that they're going to try to put in place of Christ, and a religious system that's working behind the scenes to help it happen. You got Christian preachers that bow their knee to Baal behind the scenes. They're dark. They're being paid to preach a false gospel. This is not an accident, folks. This is not a slip up. It's not like you're trying to do right and you find yourself tempted. No, this is on purpose. The Lord told me that, and how could I know this? I hear that. Sometimes what you hear the Lord say in the prayer room is opposite of what you hear preached. I said, "Lord, what's going on?" He said, "They're being paid to preach a compromised doctrine." So now Jesus is out. He's trying to help his people to fall in love with Jesus again, the ones that's ready to fall, because when he comes, it's final. He said when he raptures his people, he's going to take those that's ready and leave those that's not. He gave us the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. But the Lord is working with people that's on the edge of hell. They're almost in the territory of the world. They're at the edge of the kingdom of God, about to fall over into the world. But they can be salvaged. He told me this too. I'm going to close with this. The Laodicean church. These are the things he told me about the Laodicean. It just puzzled me. I kept studying it for a few months last year. At the end of the year, in the fall, I was asking the Lord more and more about the Laodicean church. I said, "Lord, what's with the Laodicean church?" He said, "They won't budge. They won't repent." Jesus was appealing for them to repent when he gave the revelation to John in the first place. But this is also the Latter-day Church, see. And it's here. He said they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They can't see their condition. They think they're going to be raptured. But they go and sin. Jesus told the woman that was caught in adultery, he forgave her of all that and said, go and sin no more. But you won't hear this part. They might stop at, where are your accusers? He said, go and sin no more. But that's not popular in the eyes of the people, and the leaven of Herod won't, you know, that leaven of Herod, it wants to be, it's looking at the people. The leaven of the Pharisees is religious pride. It just want prestige. It don't care nothing about Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, none of it. And then preachers are saying more and more, we stop speaking in tongues. That's not popular. Bowing their knee to Baal. I understand people that's been taught wrong and they never been in the atmosphere. But I'm talking about Holy Ghost filled people talking in tongues. They're going to stop doing something that's of God to satisfy people that's not of God. You tell me. That's wrong. And they're going to be raptured. So their influence is making the body of Christ weak. And there are good people that are confused because they don't study for themselves. But they have a hunger for God still. See, if you have a hunger for the things of God, if you have any love in you, you're gonna gravitate to the things of God. And the fear of God will still work. So the Lord is going to use the fear of the Lord to help those that are almost on the edge of hell. Consider these things. Leaven don't get better, it gets worse. Sin don't get better, it gets worse. And people, if they don't snap out of being, if they don't grow up and stop being weak, they get worse and worse. And the Lord, this broadcast is to help people be alerted. The enemy has too much place in the lives of average people. And it's time for it to stop. He's got too much influence. He can separate married people at his will. They won't do what Jesus said. Remember, every evil work follows envy and strife. Let your home be a holy sanctuary. Fill it with the love and laughter of God. Enjoy each other on purpose. When you have young children, they're very needy. And you need to, husbands, give the wife an hour or two to unwind. And you have to spend time as a family unit. You have to give each other time alone. And you have to come together. Don't let these children take all your day. And don't let them stay in the bed with you. Put they behind, and get them used to sleeping by themselves. You have to have balance. Too many times people let the enemy rob them. And all you have to do is be biblical. God will give you wisdom, detailed wisdom of how to deal with children when they're very needy. My son used to wake up in the middle of the night, every night. I almost ran into a car one day. I said, I got to get some sleep. I got to stop this. And so he woke up in the middle of the night and the Lord gave me wisdom. I put him on the floor. I rocked him to sleep. Then I stood him up, woke him up, and let him chase me around the room. Then I rocked him to sleep, put him on the floor, let him walk, follow me around. And I did it three. He started sleeping all night after that. God can give you wisdom you need. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. And his return is imminently soon. Be ready. Go with him. Till next time, remember, I love you.